It is 3 p.m., so we're going to go ahead and start the meeting. My name is Sean Nicholas. I am the principal planner for the city of Escondido, and I will be your zoning administrator. So we have a number of items, so we're going to jump right into it. The first item has to do with an extension of time, case number PL22-30303. Ms. Perunovich, please, is there any staff report?
There is a staff report. So this is a current business item.
Okay.
And it did not require public hearing.
And this is a one-year time extension, correct?
It is.
Could you speak a little louder?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So there is a staff report with this. This is a request for a one-year extension of time for previously approved conditional use permit, and there are no public notices for this one.
And has there been any change to the scope of work from what was approved a year ago?
No.
And are all the conditions still applicable?
Yes.
All right, is there any members of the public, though, happen to be here to discuss the project at 1911 Sunset Drive? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. I'm going to go ahead and approve as set forth in, by the planner with all the applicable conditions, so on and so forth. So please note that. Jasmine, and feel free to peel off if you would like. The next item is minor conditional use permit. Where is there? There's a number I know.
PL22-0111.
Thank you. It's like you know the project. This is for a new project out in the ERTC, specific plan area 8. Mr. Parker.
It's a request for a major plot plan and a grading exemption on a lot that's on the southeast corner of Andreas and Citricado. Currently right now it's temporary parking for Palomar Hospital for employees and clients. They are eventually going to demolish that parking lot and build a approximately 88,000 square foot industrial building with parking. In order to do that, to accommodate the building and access around the building, they are increasing the slope on the southeast corner. It's a small portion. It's going from about 16 foot high to about 21 foot high. That's what's called the grade extension. That staff is recommending approval.
Okay. A couple questions for you. This is specific plan area 8, so this is part of a larger development that was considered for this whole area, correct?
Yeah, it's evolved in the ERTC specific plan and broken up into multiple planning areas, and this is in planning area 8. There's currently no tenant for the building itself. Right now it's just a concrete tilt-up building until they get a tenant.
And then, so then clearly this is not the first development associated with this specific plan.
No. This is the first development in planning area 8.
8, yes. But not in this whole area.
This is one of the last few lots remaining. It's about 4 lots, and they're going to consolidate those 4 lots into one.
And I think I have one more question for right now. Based on our analysis, or based on staff's analysis, is this consistent with the vision and intent of this area in terms of what is being proposed?
Yeah, it's within the specific plan itself, and also conforms to planning area 8 of the specific plan as well.
Perfect. This is a public hearing, so I will go ahead and open the public hearing. Is there anyone to speak on PL22-0111? Please, if you would, say your name, and we might have you spell it as well, depending on how difficult that name is.
Thomas.
Okay, that's easy.
Davidson, D-A-V-I-D-S-O-N.
All right. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I own the property, it's adjacent to the, so I'm not really sure what corner he's lifting.
So
I own this small exhibit here, tiny exhibit.
This is the corner of Andreas.
They're raising this portion right here.
Oh, raising.
Now, there's a trail there.
Yes.
There's a great deal of activity from SDG&E.
Yes.
Who's in and outside of everybody's easements. They obviously don't need any permits for what they do.
They are not touching that easement or encroaching into SDG's easement either. It's off-site from their project.
There's portable water that runs along Citricado. Is there any, can we jump in and get any access to that portable water?
Who can?
Jamie McCann told me once that he wasn't going to touch his property. If they're going to be grading this property and we can bring that water down.
There's no plans or condition to bring that portable water. It's in RINCON's jurisdiction, so you'd have to talk to RINCON.
RINCON told me years ago I had to talk to Jamie.
Is this about your bringing water to your property?
This is a major change to this piece of property.
Okay.
Which I was not aware of until we got this. So as part of that change, it would make sense that for this, I own this building here, and this piece of this parcel, which has been goes back many years before this project was built. We've watched a lot of concessions we made on this project over the years with the hotel that didn't get built and the industrial over here. And we're still trying to figure out what to do. We have an easement problem with our next neighbor. But that doesn't say, we've had the property for 22 years, so we're going to do something with it. And we're actually very close to doing something. So I'm here, I thought maybe Mr. McCann would be here. Last time I talked to him was when the meeting for the parking lot. I was the only one that showed up for that meeting. So, in the consideration of this project, the city is looking for places to run the excess water that the filtration plant has generated. How do I jump in to if this is all to be regraded?
So the pad's already actually there. So it's just concrete and the slopes are actually there. There's only a small increase on that slope on the southeast portion.
There's a trail right along the edge.
There is a trail. And I'm not, that trail's not impacted, no.
Okay.
And on the east side of that property, where the trail runs north, they are not impacting that trail at all. That trail's gonna remain where it goes north. And that slope on the east property right line right now is currently being irrigated by the ERTC, which is the association, which is Jamie.
The original plan for this did have limitations that have been changed many times. Vineyard is down here. This little strip in between, we were nothing. We were zoned nothing for a while. But we built out. We did have a building here that was stopped by the city many years ago. My question is, if he's looking for a major concession, and if he's going to be grading, how do I jump in to do something that's beneficial for the environment, the flow of portable water that runs through here, and I don't have to work too closely with Jamie again.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you. Is there anyone else that wants to talk on this item or speak on this item? Just in general about the PL 220111, the request for the construction of the
The
building.
Yeah.
And your name, please, first.
Kim.
Kim.
Kamencik, Kamencik. And we're at 1998 Citricado. And I know I was wondering if RINCON was going to be here because I know we paid him a lot of money for us. Water bond, and if there was development in that area until 2024, we would get some of that money back for the pay-in. So I think it was, maybe his name was Blaze, I can't remember.
Okay.
Our contact with RINCON.
Okay.
About that area. And then what would the industrial building be used for, the 88,000 square feet?
There is no current tenant, but it would have to conform to planning area 8 land uses, which are a variety of uses.
Do you know the height of that building? Like clear height?
Yeah, it's approximately about 42 feet high.
And that's just for one portion, it looks like.
They currently have no tenant right now, so.
Any other comments on it?
I have one more comment.
Well, sir, you've already used over your 3 minutes.
Okay.
No, I guess, did you answer anything about my questions, or you just take notes?
I'm taking notes. I'll try to address them here at the end. Once I take all the public comments, we'll do my best to address them.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I want to make sure, though, because you still have about another minute if you wanted to say anything else or add anything else.
No, good.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, please. And your name first?
Eric, E-R-I-K.
E-R-I-K. All right. Mixing it up on us. And last name?
Davidson, D-A-V-I-D-S-O-N.
Okay.
My question relates to the original plan of Citricato going through and extending past Andreessen. Given that we don't know the use, how many people will be in this building, is there any updates on that? Is there any conditions related to that?
Let's just take all the comments and we'll do our best to address everyone at the end. So Citricato extension and the uses there of the site? Okay. Anything else? Any other questions on that?
No.
Okay. Perfect. Anyone else here wanting to talk about this particular project? All right. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. And let's see what we can do to address some of these things. I think the first one for Ms. Kamancic, if I murdered her name, I'm so sorry.
You're good.
No one here is from Ring Pond Water, and as Darren had mentioned earlier, that they are a separate water agency than the city of Escondido. What we can do, though, to try to help you get in touch with someone, if you have contact information, if you can write it down and provide it to Mr. Parker, I know that he can help probably at least get you in contact or an email of someone to potentially start you along that path. But unfortunately, here today, we won't have any answers for you. Very sorry.
I don't have the contacts in my accounts, so I guess we'll just go directly.
If you do, then that would be the best thing. Because
okay.
We don't have any control over that.
Okay.
I actually have a question really fast for you, Mr. Parker, on this project. Is my understanding is that there was a program EIR that was approved for the overall development of this area, correct?
Yes.
And that looking at it, it looks like there was an evaluation including traffic in terms of potential traffic impacts for this area, correct?
For each planning area, yes.
Yes. And my understanding reading the staff report is that what is being proposed is less than the development and impacts that were analyzed in that EIR. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a smaller project than what was evaluated for potential environmental impacts, including traffic to this area.
Yep, that's correct.
And then it was included in that analysis, the same uses that were in place then and are in place now.
Yes.
Okay. So, also, are we been involved? By we, I mean planning involved with the Citricato extension?
The extension is still happening. It's been approved. I am not involved in that.
Yeah.
So we do have staff though involved
yeah,
with that.
You would have to talk to engineering. I think it's Rob.
I can answer some. I was at the pre-construction meeting on Monday for that with the bridge builders, the environmental consultants, the geologists, and the grading contractor and the engineer that's running that project. That project has been funded. It is moving forward. They haven't started construction yet. There are some items to lay out on the relocation of the existing water line. They were out there with the Native American consultants and SDG&E because there will be some blasting in some small areas. So they were working with those agencies so they wouldn't have any impacts to that. And we're setting up all the staging areas where those go. So that project is moving forward like a freight train.
So
to speak.
Mr. Davidson, to try to get back to your response, if you also have a card or a business or can write down your email address, we can take that and we can definitely get you in contact with the engineer in charge of that project. and then to other Mr. Davidson, perhaps while we don't have a nexus associated with what they're doing here to extend the water line with this project, perhaps with the Citricado, maybe it sounds like that might be more of the appropriate means and method in which some kind of extension would occur. So I don't know if you would like to both give us contact information or an individual to take the lead on that. We'd be more than happy to look at that for you. But in terms of this project and a nexus to require them to do those types of offsite improvements, that's not in the city's purview or something that we could require, unfortunately, with this project.
Sean, and you would, Matt Sutra is our project engineer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, on the project for the extension.
To make it easier, though, why don't we get your contact, and then we can, like I said, we can make an email introduction to at least get you contacted.
And then your other best bet, obviously, which you've tried multiple times, is Jamie.
All right. So with that, and those issues and the questions, and Mr. Parker, thank you so much for providing those clarity to all those questions. I am going to go ahead and approve the minor conditional use, the major plot plan and the grading exemption associated with PL 22-0111 as conditioned and presented here at this meeting. So again, if you could just before you leave, if you want, go ahead and please provide your contact information to Mr. Parker, and he will provide some additional context to you. So that is going to bring us to our last item on our agenda, which is tentative parcel map PL 210508. Mr. Paul, do you want to give us a staff rundown of this project?
Yes, this is a long ongoing effort to subdivide this remaining infill parcel. It goes back to an old subdivision, Trek 682. This was a leftover parcel that was never developed. There were several lots approved, and the map never was. The current applicant, Mike Gailey, would like to construct or subdivide the parcel into three lots. It is bisected or bifurcated by the future improvement of Calle Catalina through the project from Continental Lane on the south to Gamble Lane on the north. This project has two actions involved. The environmental review, that's why we're the main reason we are here today. The project, because of existing biological resources on the site, triggered the preparation and issuance of a mitigated negative declaration. During that process, potential issues were identified, including potential impacts to Native American resources. No cultural resources were identified on site, but there's always the potential for undiscovered resources during grading. So they were consulted and involved. There's mitigation measures for that. And the biological impacts, non-native grassland and some coastal sage shrub. You can see the buckwheat and other items on the site. A mitigated declaration was issued for 30 days. We did receive five comments from neighbors with a host of questions and issues. Those questions and comments were included in the final mitigated declaration and detailed answers on each one of them for the public and the zoning administrator to review. So staff is recommending approval of the three-lot subdivision. That action is more of a ministerial act, but is included with the neg deck. That's why it is also here for the zoning administrator's consideration today. The tentative parcel map is consistent with all of the zoning code requirements and development standards. Some of the issues that had come up on that were the extension of Calle Catalina through the project site. Due to easement issues, public vehicular access was not able to be accommodated through that site. It would only accommodate for emergency access only, be gated on both sides, and for utility access. So there would be no parking or public or vehicular access. The gates on both sides will allow for pedestrian access. They have been designed to allow for pedestrian and bicycle access, but not for vehicular access. Lot sizes will be 20,000, minimum 20,000 square feet. Currently, there's no homes designed on that. The applicant will have to come back for building permits with that. That concludes staff's presentation, and staff is recommending approval of the 10,000 map and adoption of the final mitigated declaration, the conditions of approval, and the mitigation monitoring and reporting program.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Paul. I do have just a few questions for you. You kind of hit on this at the end, but I just wanted to ask, do we have any indication if this is going to be custom homes or is it going to be developed as spec homes?
The project applicant has developed several projects in the city,
okay,
and they were more estate custom type development, and they were here to answer that question.
Okay, perfect. The existing zoning is RE20, correct?
Correct.
And this project is not changing the existing zoning, correct?
No, they will remain minimum half acre lots or better.
And then, as you mentioned, the conformance to the code, that includes area of lots, lot depth, lot width, all of those things, correct?
Grading ordinance compliance,
yep.
And street design, correct.
And then that includes also the ability to have a developable parcel consistent with the setback requirements without requiring variances or things of that nature, correct?
Correct.
All right. And then you indicated a mitigated neg deck. So it looked like it was noise, biology, and cultural resources. Were they standard? I know we have here at the city standard mitigations for many of these issues, especially cultural resources. Those have all been incorporated into the conditions of approval through the monitoring program?
Correct. And also consultation and negotiation with the Native American tribes have agreed to the mitigation measures.
Perfect. And the fire, as part of the review of this, fire and engineering have generally reviewed the placement of the gate for fire access and through the utilities, and they have provided comments and or approved its location.
Correct.
Placement.
I believe the most difficult part of the project was the ultimate design of Calle Catalina and how access would be provided to the project without affecting off-site easements and access rights to other property owners.
Okay. And then lastly, this is just for the adoption of the MND and the tenant parcel map, not associated with any actual real development, physical development on site at this time, correct?
The future development of the homes, no. This will begin the process then to move the project forward to a final map and grading permits.
Okay, but with this approval, no physical changes are going to occur on site right now.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I think those are my questions for right now. Let's go ahead and open the public hearing. I'm guessing that there's a number of people here for the public hearing on that issue. Why don't we then first hear, is the applicant here?
Here.
Okay, so why don't you guys go ahead and you have 3 minutes. If you would like to add or share anything extra, please state your names so we can have for the record, and then anything else you'd like to add to what Mr. Paul has stated.
Okay, my name is Michael Daly, G-A-L-E-Y, and we are the applicant and the developer of the property. It is our intention at this time to continue development process and build homes there. We normally would do that, and we've done homes out in the city, including next door to this property from time to time. So it's our plan to proceed with the final plans and proceed with our development and as orderly as possible. And we've designed the property within the constraints that were there. Unfortunately, most of the constraints we had no control over, the elevation of the existing road, the elevation of the property around it. So we had to try to balance all of those with how it would actually work. I think we've come up with a plan that does. And in short, that's what I have to say.
Perfect. Anything else? Okay. Wonderful. So I'm guessing everyone's here to speak on this item. So let's do this in an organized fashion. I'm gonna start here and I'll work my way through. And then just again, say your name, your full name, your address, and then just any questions or anything that you have, just direct towards me, and then we'll take everything, and then similar to what I tried to do the last time, we'll go through and try to be more specific in terms of addressing people's comments or questions as we, so we can do it in an orderly fashion. So, ma'am, why don't you go ahead and get us started.
My name is Christy Hillenbrand, and we live on the corner of Calle Catalina and Continental, and we face Calle Catalina. And so since this is more of an environmental discussion, I don't think we really have any issues in regards to that. Our issues have more with the placement of the road going up alongside our house that's within 25 feet of our physical structure. And so that's what we have issue with. And if that hasn't been addressed as yet, then hopefully Mr. Gailey will be cooperative enough to work with us on what our concerns are.
Okay. Anything else on the, anything else of the components of the project?
No, well, the other concern has to do with the driveway alongside our house, and then the driveway that's right along across literally our street with the barrier that's at the end of her property. Okay, and the fact that it's a hammer, you know, and there doesn't seem to be a turnaround or anything that provides for any vehicles that come up there and that need to just turn around and not go up a driveway in any direction. In the past, we've had people come up there, they back all the way up, or they back into our driveway.
Okay.
And our street is very narrow.
Gotcha. Perfect. Thank you. That, okay?
That's it, right?
Ma'am?
Hi, my name is Jessie Berryman, J-E-S-S-I-E Berryman. I live at 1655 Gamble Lane. I met with Mr. Gailey, and I'm glad you're going to put the gates there, Mr. Ball, because in my property deed it says can never be used as a road to a house. So Mr. Bailey knows that, and you addressed that when I sent you the thing. The other thing is, when Homie Down Dario was here, this been going on for 25 years, with three different people that own their property. He said anybody who bought that property had to lower the road because it's blind, and he said it was in there, and if anybody said anything, come to him only. What happened to that?
Okay.
Gamble Lane was supposed to be lowered because it's a blind street, blind hill. I come out of the driveway, I can be smashed.
Okay.
Why did the city change so that they don't have to lower the road?
Okay.
It was in the property zone before. It must have been taken out. That's only the question I have.
Perfect. Thank you. And you, sir, sorry.
Mel Hildebrand, 1761 Calle Catalina. And to support what my wife was mentioning, in response to our questions to the final plan, for access to the property, it was stated that the property owner has the legal right to enter from Gamble or from Calle Catalina, specifically for parcel number one. And our concern, as she mentioned, is that with the placement of the new driveways, when we have trucks or visitors to enter in it and use it as a hammer turn, looks good on paper, most likely they just back up and use our driveway. So we're asking, and also the determination of the study on the traffic was that there was no impact. And we disagree with that as far as our home, because all the traffic needs to pass through it. So we're requesting that it be looked again for access to the properties from Gamble instead of from Calle Catalina in order to avoid those multiple turnarounds, especially with the current environment of many Amazon deliveries and things like that. So legally, yes, he has the right to use it. We're asking that it be looked at to provide access only from Gamble in order to avoid the traffic in front of our house and on that corner.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Me?
Yeah.
Don Karanuski. You could spell it, right?
Yeah, no. Can you help us?
K-A-R-A-N-E-W-S-K-Y. All right.
All right. Go ahead.
My only question, okay, I live at 1797 Continental Lane.
Mm-hmm.
So the one, I guess it's lot number one, is that what it is?
Five.
Yeah, is directly behind my property. So my only questions were with regard to the placement of the, it doesn't sound like it's been set in stone yet, but the placement of the house and whether or not it's a one-story or two-story house or whatever. Because if it's a two-story house, it's going to be looking directly into our backyard. And depending on the placement of the house on the lot, that also impacts our privacy as well. And my second question is with regard to the, there's a drainage ditch, that concrete drainage ditch that runs behind my property as well as Mel's property. And that obviously needs to be preserved in all this when that road is put, or driveway is put through. And we're just concerned about any damage that might occur to that drainage ditch when the construction begins, and that would be fixed or whatever.
Okay. Perfect. Anything else?
No, I think that's
all right. Next.
My name is Mark Medina. I'm at 1730 Continental Lane.
And your last name, how do you spell it?
Medina, M-E-D-I-N-A. I'm in the cul-de-sac. I like the fact that they're building homes now on those two empty lots back there. My thought has always been, as a handicapped person, somebody blind, that Cagliano would be open one day for easier access out of that area there. But hearing how they're talking about it being like a hammer type thing, I could understand it, but I thought it would be another cul-de-sac, just like all the rest of the cul-de-sacs that we have in our area there right now. But I also like the fact that there'd be more of a walkway for me if I ever had to get out of that area quicker, that I can escape from Pike County.
Okay, gotcha. Anything else?
No.
All right, ma'am?
Linda Karanuski, you should know how to spell that name by now.
Got that one.
So my husband already addressed a couple of our concerns. I had written to Mr. Paul and had some issues that he's already responded to and answered, so we're good there. Just really came to say that we're generally in support of the project, looking forward to it. We see the work that this company has done, and they have experience in our neighborhood. We're just glad to see that property not be vacant anymore, because it's, as it is, there we've had problems because of the non-development of that space. So hopefully
wildlife issues.
The homes going in, hopefully it will solve some of the problems we've experienced over 28 years. That's it.
Thank you. Next, ma'am.
Yeah, so this is my husband and I, Jeff and Maggie, going to T-A-O-R-M-T-O-R.
Wait, Jeff and Maggie is what I got. So go ahead on that last part.
T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N.
Thornton.
Yes,
gotcha.
And we own 1743 Continental Lane. So our house is kind of parallel with the partial two and three.
Okay.
Lot and right next to the two. Our main concern, and it sounds like there's no, you know, it's out of control due to probably some reasons that we'd like to understand, is the elevation. So our house would be based on the map, or we recognize that our house would be 5 feet, you know, the new house. And whether the new house would be one story or two story, that's regardless it would impact us one way or the other, one or what more two story one. So we share the same concern regarding to, you know, we moved there almost 3 years ago, thinking that we do not have a lot of neighbors around us, and that's what's one of the reasons why we bought the property. But knowing that this elevation, the new home's elevation will be higher than us, that's actually a huge concern, because our property really, we don't have actual land outside of current concrete structure. We just don't have enough land to even build any privacy tree. So we basically betting on whether the new owners would put something up or that the structure would be built in a certain way that will directly look into our house, our yard especially. That's what our main concern is, to ensure there is some solution. I mean, even though we can't stop this development, but we'd like to have some kind of solution proposed that then that overlooking into our yard, because we have no control over planting or put anything up. I think that's our main concern. But we actually do support the building, because I mean, we live right next to an empty land and we get a lot of uninvited coming over, and obviously the dust. So it would be nice to have something, but we want to make sure we don't have that concern.
Can I ask you a quick question just to clarify something you said? When you say you have elevation concerns, is that in terms of the elevations and the design of the building or the actual pad heights?
The lot.
The lot.
Okay.
The pad heights.
If you look at the lot, yeah, it shows, I think it's 810.
It's five feet higher than ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it's at our structure is within 20 feet of our property line. And our understanding is that the new structure is only 10 feet beyond that.
Okay.
So, and a 5 foot elevation from that, you know, proximity would be probably not very nice.
Yeah, I think that is a concern, but I think it's impact us more the fact that we have no actual property aside to bring anything to the event, you know, to give us a price.
Okay. Any other comments from anyone in the room? All right, then with that, I will close the public hearing. And give me 1 minute. I'm just trying to find something. So, first and foremost, I want to thank everyone for your time, for coming out here. This is what this process is for. It's an opportunity to come and speak on these things and ask questions about development. And so I just, on both a professional and personal level, just want to thank you for participating in in the democratic process. I'm still looking for something. Give me 1 minute. And Mr. Paul, I think I'm going to have a couple of questions for you. Okay. So, just so I'm clear, and for I feel the benefit of everyone involved, this project in terms of access, placement of roads, we already talked a bit about the fence, the gate that they're going to install, the hammerhead access turnaround, that's all been reviewed again by fire and our engineering team in terms of circulation, traffic, and how vehicles would enter and exit onto the site, correct?
Correct.
And they have all either conditioned accordingly and or approved the design as shown.
Correct.
There is no, and I was saying, the access here off of Calle Catalina that goes into the driveway towards parcel one, there's no proposed gate for that driveway, correct? No?
Well,
okay. That's not part of this project. The fire gate's beyond the...
Correct.
Okay.
There are two fire gates.
Yeah.
There's three fire gates.
Yes.
Gamble Lane will not go through.
Okay.
Gamble Lane currently, there's a history to that, had a electronic gate. That electronic gate and its apparatus did not survive the many attacks and thefts to it. It has a very large chain with many locks on it.
Gotcha.
And
they're replacing it.
And they replaced that with a nicer gate, but allow for pedestrian access opening through that, so you don't have to step over it or step underneath that gate. It'll still allow access for emergency vehicles and utilities. Now, the access through the site, Calle Catalina, ultimately is supposed to be a through city street that would allow through access to Gamble Lane and Continental Lane. However, not all of the right-of-way currently exists to make that happen.
So by the existing right-of-way, you mean we do not have the dedications or easements to create
the dedications or easements. Now, there are easements for emergency and utility access, but there is a small section that would preclude three access. So it makes some development issues on how you access the parcels, whether vehicles can park on that. So the solution was to gate that at both ends to limit access, vehicular access through, allow for emergency access. Those gates on both ends will have pedestrian openings too, so you could pedestrians can go use that, but not vehicles unless they were emergency vehicles. As to the design of using the panhandle, and I'll have to defer that to Mike for lot one, which access he would choose for that. As you can see, and not speaking for the applicant, and I'll answer some of the questions with that. There is that brow ditch that runs along the southern end of the panhandle.
And
that was installed
the,
with
the drainage ditch?
The drainage
okay.
ditch. It is concrete, a drainage ditch that was installed with track 682. With the original design with this subdivision, which had twice as many lots on there to be to go through as a second phase. That second phase never happened.
Okay.
But the brow ditch still exists and it takes drainage from upstream.
It is a functioning drainage.
It is a functioning drainage ditch. It will
to
be.
What you just said though, the drainage ditch was designed to take twice as much development as what is proposed
well,
or existing?
Well, not, no. It was designed to accommodate development that comes, that drains onto that site.
Got it.
And has to take the upstream drainage to it and
Got
take
it.
That through the property. Now, that will remain.
Okay.
It will now be the on parcel one.
Okay.
And that property owner will maintain that. Now, that drainage ditch. Now, to the issue of grading and potential impacts, there's two different scenarios with that. As designed, the developer will avoid, to the best of their ability, impacts to that. However, if they do damage that, they will need to repair or replace that prior to development on that site or finalization of that map. So, you know, they have two options to try to protect it, invest in place. Sometimes that's not doable. Any damage, you need to fix it back to its original.
Is there a condition of approval or anything
Correct.
Associated
there,
with that in here? So that's already been included.
That's included in its standard development requirements.
So Mr. Cardoski, I'm so sorry. Mr. Cardoski, it sounds like then your question regarding the drainage ditch, it will. There's a condition of approval in here. That it must be maintained and if damaged, repaired.
Right.
Okay.
So, also, to get to that question, and more of a question to Mike on which access they take from lot one. Obviously, you can take access from Gamble. You can also take access from the panhandle. The applicant has chosen to take access off the existing panhandle section with their driveway portion there. Because of the length of that, it requires a hammerhead turnaround on that site. They'll also have a stormwater basin on that site. Now, that forces, if you look at parcel one and the design of that, with the hammerhead and the driveway, that gets to the issue of where the home would be placed for the neighbors on the south. That actually forces the actual home and the garage to be placed 30, 40 feet further to the north, as opposed to, and speculating, if you took access off of Gamble Lane, potentially you could push that home all the way to the back of that parcel. Looking at that too, and this is more operational, using that for driveway access to the home, does that take away from potential other uses of that panhandle that now can't be used for storage of RVs? Because that's used, it has boats, accessory structures, storage structures, whatever you have. Now it has to be free and clear and not parking, because it has to be used as a fire turnaround. They have to be parked on site.
We had an RV park there for a while. We could see the whole thing.
Right. So there's pluses and minuses to using that access.
Can I ask you a question before you go on from that? Actually,
yes.
Chuck, because you're talking about the panhandle, the access there, the driveway, and
correct,
the turnaround. We heard from members of the public that people in the past that have gone down there, it sounded like that they have gotten stuck and then have had to utilize their driveway to turn around to get out of there.
Correct.
But it looks to me, looking at the proposed tenant parcel map, that there seems to be at least a low-level property retaining wall that's going to be going along that area that would probably block any kind of vehicular access to the neighbors. Is that accurate?
Well, let me take it a step further about the hammerhead.
Yes, please.
There are limitations to that project design because they don't have all of the right-of-way to, per se, put a cul-de-sac there.
Okay.
Or do a normal knuckle right there. So the solution was, there's additional room past where the property begins,
mm-hmm,
to extend that, and you can see the two driveways on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery trucks that would come in would have to use that as a hammerhead. That is correct. There is no other solution to that. The question about the pad elevation, and Mike can probably get into that a little more. Parcel three, you've got the grading issue of cut and fill. So the parcel will be lower than the street, several feet lower, but to have a development pad, they have to raise it on the east side. So the pad will actually be several feet lower than the street level, but in the backside, they have to raise that up. So you're lowering and raising. So it will be a couple feet higher at certain portions than the lot to the south of that parcel. The future home designs, actually, with the driveway coming off that end, you will, and there's a condition that they have a turnaround on that side so you don't back out, which will then kind of forces the design on their future home to push that home farther away from that southern edge so you don't have it built close to the property line. Potentially gets into the overviewing issues with that it forces a future home to be built more towards the north and further the south. Perhaps the applicants can answer the single and two-story design issues for you with that. I think it answers some of the questions.
So I had asked actually the question of Mr. and Mrs. Thornton to just clarify
right,
which one was their home. They're looking at the.
And there was one more issue about lowering Gamble.
Yes.
Looking at that with the current engineers, is Gamble Lane will only function as a frontage road. It won't go through. If and when Citricado Parkway ever moves, gets through, and you can see the time that it's taken for the easier extension. And when I say easier, that hasn't been easier extension, but it's a shorter extension. It's finally happened.
Gamble Lane used to be called Citricado.
Right, right. It will be Citricado as it, with the alignment on the property to the north, on the other side of the street goes through, but...
Are you gonna put a new gate at the end of Hamlet?
Yes, there will be a brand...
Because that's been smashed so many times, all the neighbors have locks on.
Yes, they do.
And they use their own lock. So I hope you put a new gate there.
Mr. Dietz has his own lock on that, so I talked to him.
It sounds like that the...
But the street...
You don't get the...
But the street will not be lowered.
Gate.
The engineering difficulties with actually making that happen, I think, and having, working within the right of way, is probably financially infeasible for any one person to do.
The owner bought the property, was supposed to give the money to the city.
To do that, because it would be a monumental task. The current city engineer had looked at that, and with the limited traffic that would be there, that road will stay in its current elevation.
Limited traffic? Do you know what happens?
So I'm gonna go ahead and still bring it back.
And then they twist down 80 miles an hour.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna bring it back here to our, to my questions on the project. As part of, speaking of traffic, I'm assuming that there was some kind of traffic review that was done associated with the MND, correct?
Correct. The project is three lots.
Yeah.
So each lot theoretically generates 10 ADT. ADT is an average daily trip. One trip in, one trip out. The project would generate 30 ADT on the project, for the project. So it screens out of doing a very detailed traffic analysis, because the streets are designed to handle those amount of trips.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So between Continental Lane and then from Gamble Lane, which are the two areas in which it looks like traffic is being pushed to, our staff has looked at it, the city staff, traffic engineering has looked at it and determined that there's a sufficient access and there's sufficient service on those streets to accommodate the additional 30 traffic trips.
That was the determination of the engineering.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So I want to touch on a few components.
Can I ask one more question? As far as this pond that's proposed for parcel one, that's down in the south.
Yes.
Southwest corner. Mm-hmm. Okay. And however the lot is graded, mm-hmm. and then we've got the swale mm-hmm. that runs along the Karaniskis of our property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you think that is going to take care of all of the water. We have significant mm-hmm. water that's soaked under the swale
okay.
and comes into our yard.
All right.
So that's my concern.
So I'm going to touch on several things, and I'll add that to the list. Sorry, make it in.
Thank you, sorry.
So it sounds to me that we have had an extensive analysis regarding turnarounds and access to the parcels, particularly parcel one, which has the most unique design, correct?
Correct.
And then all of the applicable divisions, most importantly, fire and engineering, have both approved and have provided required conditions accordingly, correct? Okay, so I know that that's been looked at and reviewed and they're within their rights. I know that you're probably not necessarily happy about that. I understand that concern and I'm gonna touch on that in a little bit, so hold on for that. To at least the best of my ability. I think we talked a little bit about the Gamble Lane, and it sounds like though, in terms of the types of flows and traffic that's coming out of there, and in terms of the scope of this project, it doesn't seem that there's a real nexus for that type of off-site improvement, and that I'm assuming is...
For lowering the road.
Yes.
I've add two items to some of the questions to kind of clarify. The engineering division did recognize the issue of people coming up to the end of that gate and having to turn around, especially having to back up into your driveway when they do it. With the current design, they are required to have a half-type knuckle or cul-de-sac up at the end of that gate, so if somebody does come,
they don't have to back down that road. They have a way to turn around and head back out without continuing
and
to
impact. And this area right here?
Your property.
This one right here?
Correct.
This is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Do you want to, have you seen the design and the layout of the tentative map?
Yes.
Okay.
The other issue, the question came up about the basins or the ponds.
Mm-hmm.
The way stormwater design works currently, in the past, your a single family residential home or a commercial would just drain to the driveway into the street into the storm drain. That's no longer allowed for the last 10, 15 years for new development. You must retain your stormwater runoff in your post-construction condition, the same as the pre-construction condition. So the amount of runoff can't exceed what it ran off currently. So the basins on these sites, there's two basins, have two functions. Number one, to retain the water so it runs off in the same velocity and amount that it did previously. So that precludes erosion, the water running off too fast and eroding. It can only run off, and it has to run off within a certain amount of hours also, so it doesn't sit and pond. The second function is to clean the water. You just can't run your water off into the street into the storm drain. It has to be clean water before it enters the storm drain. So those two basins are designed to handle those two functions and will be maintained by the property owners on that site per a maintenance agreement.
And
that gets inspected every year by the city.
And this was, did this project include then a SWQMP?
A stormwater quality report to ensure that design met those two functions.
And that looked at not only the one, but the whole development?
The entire development and the any water that
comes onto
the site from off-site flows also.
Perfect. So, yes, that they are looking at that to make sure that that doesn't get addressed, our issue. We already touched on the drainage ditch issue and its requirement to be maintained. There was another question regarding expanding Catalina, but I believe we already touched on the fact that we don't have the necessary right-of-way to be able to do that, so that's why we won't be requiring that at this time, but we will be ensuring fire emergency access and utility access. Yes, ma'am?
Going back to the knuckle area
of
the turnaround. Okay, today's the first day that we've seen the exact plan and the placement and what's. We assumed that you would go down Calle Catalina and the driveway to the property would be on the other side of the Hildebrand's wall. We weren't aware that that was going to be developed as a turnaround area. So now this knuckle area is directly behind our property, and that property is higher in elevation than ours. So I'm concerned about having headlights, and right now one of the problems we have is people walking dogs or using mopeds or whatever in that lot and looking over our back fence. So we've essentially lost our privacy.
Okay.
Which is why we were looking forward to having that property developed, because we thought, okay, now we've just got one house behind us. Now it sounds like after seeing this plan, we're going to have this turnaround area with delivery trucks and other vehicles that could potentially look right over our fence.
Okay, thank you. I understand your concern. I just want to be clear that was there a public notification on this?
Yes.
On this project, and that went out according to both state and our local requirements?
Correct.
And this has been available on our city's website as well?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm sorry that you're just seeing that today, but it sounds like that we've had the required notification. If you have additional questions after the fact, you can always contact Mr. Paul, and he could probably provide you what options there may or may not be to address some of your concerns on that.
That's the only place that people can turn around? Is that
so, in terms of the elevations, it sounds like there's been a lot of design and thought put into that, but I understand your concern regarding the changes in elevations.
So this gets back to my overlining comment to you, Mr. Gailey, is that if anything, there's never a situation where we want to see, obviously, neighbors not happy. And I understand that you're probably going to be building this site and then selling them, and you're not going to be there, but these neighbors will be. And so, while, again, I don't have the authority in any way to require you in terms of fences or walls or things of that nature, because there's no nexus associated with that with this project, but again, there's something to be said about being a good neighbor and continuing to make sure that the people that you sell to, that you build these homes for, continue to be a good neighbor. And so I would absolutely 100% encourage you to please meet with the neighbors, listen to some of their concerns, and find a way, if there's simple things that can be done, to hopefully address some of their concerns after this meeting, so that way that they feel that that their concerns have been understood, and try to see what kind of mitigation could be done on your end to address some of those concerns. Again, as I said, there's nothing that I can do in terms of some of these items here, sitting here, that the city just doesn't have the authority and the legal rights to be able to, because they are certainly welcome to those rights. But again, I am a huge, been doing this for 20 years, I'm sure you've done it for like 5 or 10. There's something really to be said about belief in the good neighbor system. And so again, I just encourage you, these good people come out to be heard. And so I just encourage you to listen and see what can be done. Mr. Paul, I want to thank you. That was a lot of information you had to provide in answering those questions. So I appreciate your time and effort on that. Taking in all the comments into consideration, as well as the MND, the conditions of approval that have been incorporated into this, and the fact that it meets all of the development standards for potential future development without any kind of variances or exceptions. That was something I was concerned about, and I'm glad to hear that that is the case in this matter, that they're not required to have any exceptions to build to code. I will be approving the proposed project as submitted. I will say there is a 10-day appeal period, correct?
Correct.
There is a 10-day appeal period. Any appeals would have to be made to the city clerk's office and then would be considered by the planning commission. But again, to hopefully avoid that, Mr. Gailey, I encourage you to perhaps talk with the neighbors or your current neighbors as the property owners now to see what can be done. With that, and seeing no other items on the agenda, I again just want to say thank you so much for everyone for participating, and I will close and adjourn this meeting at 4:03.